Hi there, this is Bill Woods, and I want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day. I know you know that we think that we just wish mothers happy Mother's Day, but if you're alive and you've got a mother, I want to have happy Mother's Day for you too. Today I want to talk about Mrs. Zebedee makes a request. I'm taking my remarks from the Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 23 out of the New Living Translation. You know, mothers are teachers, disciplinarians, cleaning ladies, gardeners, lawnmowers, chauffeurs, all kinds of things. Most moms understand that baking cookies is more important than washing windows. Mom is a nurse, doctor, psychologist, counselor, like I said, chauffeur, coach, and developer of personalities, molder of vocabularies, and a shaper of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices saying, "I love you." A child's first impression of God's love comes from mom. Mothers are all of these things and much, much more. Knowing this helps us to understand Mrs. Zebedee, James and John's mom, and what she did. In Matthew chapter 20, 20 through 23, it says, "Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. 'What is your request?' Jesus asked. She replied, 'In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left.' But Jesus answered by saying to them, 'You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?' 'Oh, yes,' they replied, 'we are able.' Jesus told them, 'You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen.'" Mrs. Zebedee knew what Jesus said about his kingdom. She knew her boys were among his closest friends. They were two-thirds of the inner circle. There was Peter and then her boys, James and John. When Jesus formed his kingdom, she wanted them to have responsibility and authority. At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus told a story that must have disturbed Mrs. Zebedee. A landowner went to find laborers early in the morning, and they agreed upon a fair day's wages and start working. At noon, he found more workers, and they started working. Towards evening, he found more workers, and they started working. When the Lord paid them all at the end of the day, they all received the same wage. Well, Mrs. Zebedee must have wondered, will James and John really have positions of authority in Jesus' kingdom? She asked Jesus for the favor, "When you establish your kingdom, I'd like my two sons to have seats on your right and left hand." "What? What a presumptuous old lady you think. I know the other disciples did. Look at those egotistic boys." Matthew 20:22 says, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied. "Well, we are able." Since it is Mother's Day, maybe we should think some positive things about old Mrs. Zebedee. Notice when she came to Jesus, he didn't grant her request, but he didn't deny it either. He reminded her of the cost of sitting on the right or left and told her the Father decides who sits there. She prayed her sons might be part of the kingdom. You know, nothing wrong with that. There are some good things about Mrs. Zebedee here. First, she prayed her sons would be part of his kingdom. The most important job a mother and a dad can have is to raise their kids for the Lord and pray for them and encourage their children to be part of God's kingdom. Many mothers pray, sometimes out of necessity, sometimes because being a mom isn't easy and often extremely difficult. Dr. James Dobson wrote about coming home when Ryan was a baby. It had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan had been sick and had cried all day long. She was changing his diapers when the telephone rang and Shirley reached to answer it before fastening the diapers. Right then, Ryan had an attack of diarrhea. She cleaned up that mess and put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes. Then she fed him, and as she burped him, he threw up all over her and all over the couch. Dobson said, "When I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere." Shirley cried out to him, "Was all of this in my contract?" You know, sometimes mothers pray out of frustration. Sometimes in the frustration of trying to teach our children, we realize the difficulties of communication. A mom told her two-year-old son to watch a baby sister Susan while she stepped out of the room. She'd been gone a few moments when she heard a thump and Susan started crying. She rushed to find Susan had fallen off the couch and sprawled on the floor. The son sat there looking so innocent. The mom said, "I told you to watch her." The boy said, "I did." He watched her fall. He watched her cry. He did exactly what he was told to do. Reminds me of my little dog, Shadow. I said, a watchdog because he liked to watch me, you know, do everything, watch me study, watch me wash the dishes, watch me do whatever needs to be done. Parenting isn't easy. Sometimes there's joy. Sometimes there's sadness. Sometimes your kids make you proud. Other times you almost wish abortion was retroactive. Not really, but you know what I mean. Parents, what good will it be if your children are successful, they make a lot of money, they drive five fine cars, and they live in good neighborhoods and fabulous houses, but they don't know God? Matthew 16:26 says, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul?" Are you spoiling your children or your grandchildren with things and forgetting to teach them about Jesus Christ? Being a parent isn't easy, and Mrs. Zebedee gave a great example. She prayed her sons would be part of Christ's kingdom. We need that burden for our children. I hope all of you moms and dads and grandparents have a burden to pray for your children to be saved from eternal damnation and saved for eternal life. Then she prayed her sons would be involved in the work of God's kingdom. Not only did Mrs. Zebedee pray her children be a part of God's kingdom, but she also prayed they'd be actively involved in the work of his kingdom. It's not enough just to be saved. Churches are full of people just filling a seat on Sunday mornings, and plenty of people are willing to sit back and soak in the blessings but not get involved in doing the real work of the church, the real work that Christ has called us to do. Where does the spirit of service begin? It begins at home with moms and dads and grandparents setting the example and praying their children will get involved in the work of the kingdom, hoping they might be the ones to find the lost, to see the church continue until Jesus comes again. Mrs. Zebedee prayed her boys would be involved in God's work. I think we must do that very same thing too. Mrs. Zebedee also had big expectations for her boys. She didn't just pray that her boys would be doorkeepers. She wanted them on the right hand and left hand of Jesus. You know, there's no higher position than to be on the right and left of the King. That's what she wanted for her sons. We accuse Mrs. Zebedee of being brash and presumptuous. Who did she think she was? I, though, admire her boldness. Too often, we're willing to settle for mediocrity in the church, for mediocrity in our children's Christian commitment. We're content with just barely making it through the door, to sit back and just let things happen, thinking it's enough to just have the kid's body in the church while his or her mind is somewhere else. I watch children at our church sometimes. They bring these little hand computer games, and they sit there and they in the service and play those games and don't ever hear a word of the message. And you wonder, how in the world is God going to get through to them if they're not even paying attention? It's time to take our positions as leaders. Be a part of the outreach of the church, making sure Christ's message goes into the world, our family. It's time to strive for excellence, to reach the very best there is. Jesus calls us to be his disciples, to be effective laborers in his kingdom. Today is special because a good mother's love is probably the best example of God's love. Not all mothers are good mothers. I had a grandmother that I never met. She was my dad's mom, and She thought she was so beautiful, and one day, somebody, well, she didn't want people to know that she was a mother because she thought she was just too beautiful. So when she would go to the theater, she would have my dad and his brother sit on one side, and she sit on the other side so people wouldn't know that such a beautiful lady was a mother. When my dad was 4 years old, she deserted my dad and my uncle and my grandfather, ran off with another person, and went into a full life of sin. You know, she was a horrible mother. And my dad, it affected him. He never did really understand the things he would have understood about love had his mother stayed around and been the mother she was supposed to be. My mother was very good. My girls have a good mother. I did everything I could to find a wonderful woman who married me and is mother of my children, and doing the very best job to do she can to live the kind of Christian life God wants. And now my daughters are mothers and grandmothers. I know they qualify as great moms. I have granddaughters that are now mothers, and I know they are great. Phew. I keep wondering, how did I get so old to have so many moms as my descendants? A good mother's love goes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into being. It's a mother's love that sacrifices over and over again, that would even lay down her life for her young, give up food and sleep for the baby in order to watch out for the things that the baby needs. There's a story from World War II and the Holocaust. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife, two sons, and his mom and dad were arrested and put in a Nazi concentration labor camp. The rules were simple. As long as they can work, they're permitted to live. When you're too weak to work, you're exterminated. Rosenberg watched his parents march off to their deaths. He knew his youngest son, David, would be next because he was a frail child. Each evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his labor and searched for his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace each other, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg didn't see those familiar faces. He found his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner huddled, weeping and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It's true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to do his work, and they came for him." "Well, where's your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa, when they came for David, he was afraid and cried, and Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David,' and she took his hand and went with him." Now that's motherhood. Moms, this is your day. God bless you. I pray if you have never experienced the love of God that inspires the love of a good mom, this would be the day that you choose Jesus Christ as your Savior and find the kind of love that God bestows upon those who belong to Him. If you've had to walk through the valley alone so many times, you'll see a hand reaching out saying, "There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you." God's love goes deeper than any sin. I hear people sometimes say, "Well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how wicked I've been. Satan's put such a sin in my heart that not even the blood of Jesus can cleanse me." I want you to know something. There is nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. And if Satan has put something in your heart and your attitudes and stuff, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you can go even deeper and cleanse you from all sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." The peace and fellowship with God who loves you is more precious than anything else you'll ever experience. Confess your sins to him. Repent. Have him, repentance means a turning around, 180-degree turnaround, and start going the other way. totally surrender your life to God and surrender your family to God and begin to be the person that God wants you to be. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. My grandma's love, my mom's love were precious to me. My wife's love is precious. The mother of my children, doing the very best she can, she is so precious to me. And I want to say thank you, Marty, for being such a wonderful, good wife and good mother to our children. Watching my daughters and their daughters raise their families and knowing how they love their children is precious to me. But the thing that is the most precious to me is to realize how much God loves me. He is so precious to me." I want to say happy Mother's Day. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, please don't put it off any longer. Father, I pray that you'll be with each mom that's listened to this broadcast today. We thank you for our mothers, and we pray, God, each one would have a burden to be the godly mother that she needs to be. I pray that you'll give wisdom and patience as they try to raise their families for you, and that, Lord, your name will be glorified. If there's moms or dads or people that are not either one, but they don't know you as their personal Savior, I'd pray this will be the day that they will ask for your forgiveness and repent of sin and allow you to be their Savior, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I will be speaking tomorrow at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook at the Sunday schools at, there's a Mother's Day breakfast at 9 o'clock that you could come to if you wanted to. And then Sunday school starts around 10 o'clock and morning worship's at 11 o'clock. And I will be preaching on Trim the Branches. Now, how does that fit into Mother's Day? Well, why don't you come and find out? And then we do have, will not be having Bible study tomorrow evening because so many people have their mothers here and want to celebrate while they can. But I would encourage you to come to the First Baptist Church at the corner of Buffalo and First Avenue here in Holbrook. It's a friendly church and the people would love to get acquainted with you, and I know you'd feel right at home. If you want to get in touch with me, don't forget, you can do it with my phone number and send a text or talk to me direct. That's 623-845-2741. Or you can write to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day, and I hope that you will find the love of God so precious as I have.